T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Overnight America, we continue tonight. Hey, we got a new review on Apple iTunes. You want to hear the review? It's from Blonde Mama Nikki is the username. It says, I love listening to Overnight America. I really enjoy listening to Ryan and all the different things he talks about. Thanks, Blonde Mama Nikki. Yay! I love it. If you want to make my day and give us a nice glowing review like that, a 5-star review, what it will do is help other people find the podcast in this show, Overnight America. It's weird the way these Apple iTunes and the different podcasting apps work, but when you find that people start to listen to a show and then they leave some sort of feedback on the show, and even negative feedback, but positive feedback mostly, when that feedback is put in there, the algorithms all of a sudden start to say, ooh, people are interacting with this one. Maybe we should recommend it to someone else to see if it continues, and let's see if maybe other people would like this. So if you have a smartphone, it would go and help me an awful lot. If you were to open up whatever podcasting app you use, there's a podcasting app on your iPhone or your Android, and it's built right into it. It comes with it. You just have to find it on there. And like the iTunes is the big one. If you have an Apple, like iPhone, and it's normally a little purple app, you click on it, and there's a little search bar. You type in Overnight America. My face pops up. I'm smiling. The way I smile. My wife doesn't like my smile. I normally don't show my teeth when I smile. I just do, I give a grin. And she says, why don't you show your teeth? I'm like, you got nice teeth. I said, no, just the way I smile. Yeah, we can Photoshop producer Mike's smile in. Maybe if we get enough reviews, we'll do that. We'll change the artwork so it's producer Mike's smile on my face. But what you would do is once you find my show on there, there's a button to leave a review. You can leave a 5-star positive review. It would help me an awful lot. Altogether, it would take you, if you don't know what you're doing, 90 seconds, 2 minutes. It doesn't really take all that long to get to the part where you leave the review and then say something nice. And it really does help. So I want to thank, and I saw this new review pop up. It gets me all excited. I mean, I get all excited when I see new reviews up there. Yesterday on Monday Night Football, I saw ESPN tweeting about the cat that ran on the field, and I got excited because any animal running onto the field is exciting in general. Rally cat, rally squirrel over at Busch Stadium, that's pretty exciting stuff. On Monday Night Football, was this in Dallas or was this in New York? I can't remember. That doesn't matter. I think it was in New York. Yeah, it was taking on the Giants, Cowboys and Giants. And Kevin Harlan, who does the radio play-by-play for Westwood One, I want you to listen to how he did the play-by-play for this cat running on the field. I think it's just magical.
Oh, there's a cat. A black cat is taking the field. A black cat is running from the 20 to the near side, the 10. From the 39 in Dallas, here's a short throw down the middle, caught by Ingram. Caught at the 35, went to the 30. Now the cat running the other way. And so is Ingram at the 30 to the 25, to the 24-yard line of the Dallas Cowboys. It's a catch and run of 15. Now the cat is stopped at the 50.
So is it bad luck for the Giants? Is it bad luck for the Cowboys?
I don't know, but they've stopped playing. The players with hands on hips are watching the cat run and zigzag all over the field.
The black cat
is at the other end of the field.
Wow, they're having some fun.
He doesn't know that it was last Thursday that was Halloween. Monday Night Football.
He's a little bit late. Now he is sitting and looking. Now he's at the 5.
He's Who brought walking. The cat?
He's walking to the 3. He's at the 2.
Walking.
And the cat is in the CDW red zone. CDW, people who get it now, a policeman, a state trooper has come on the field. And the cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown. And the cat is elusive, kind of like Barkley and Elliott. But he didn't know where to go.
Look, they're trying to
corner him. And they got him in the end zone. There are state troopers all around this cat, which now climbs up into the stands.
Oh, there it goes. It's going to make
and
a break for it.
The fans are running for their life. Now it goes back on the field again. And it's running in the back
this
of the end
so
zone.
This is so great. I don't watch football, but I would watch this.
And it runs up the tunnel.
I just want to see animals on a field. If there was a compilation video, in the 80s and 90s, it feels like you can get any compilation video you want. Greatest fights in hockey compilation video. Cats on the field compilation video. Sports players getting hit in the groin compilation video. All of them. You'd go to like your Blockbuster and there'd be a whole section of sports blooper videos and they were the best. I loved them. Then you can't find a sports compilation blooper video anymore. You can't get the rights to anything. But used to be, remember Don Cherry? He had the greatest videos, the hockey videos. Don't read lips, kids. And the whole video would just be them going at it and saying things and bloopers and this and that. Oh, I got to find those. Maybe I should hop on to eBay and get some of those old videos back. But that would have made it very entertaining. Black Cat on the field on Monday Night Football. Now, the Rally Cat seemed to help the Cardinals on the field. They did pretty good, right? And the Rally Squirrel and the Cardinals would come back to win. So they had some pretty good luck with that. This was in New York. The New York Giants lost, so this Rally Cat doesn't transfer its skills over to football. We're going to talk to Steven Heidichak. He's the CEO of Aver when it comes to identity theft online, identity fraud. I've never heard the term synthetic identity fraud, so I want to learn more about that coming up on Overnight America, KMOX.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Our guest today is the CEO of Aver. And I have no idea what synthetic identity fraud is. I try to pay attention to these things. So this will be good to get an explanation from an expert. Steven Heidichak, thank you so much for coming on to KMOX. Oh, hold on 1 second. It didn't show up on the call screener. Producer Mike, sorry. I want you to press the button there and our guest... There we go. All right, let's give this a try. Steven Heidichak, hello.
Hello. What's up, Ryan? How are you?
Good. Thank you for spending some time with us here tonight on Overnight America. I pay attention to things that are going on the internet. Cybersecurity is certainly a big part of what people are really worried about. Identity theft is a big part, too. You see a lot of the headlines with that. And I saw the synthetic identity fraud, and that was a term that I've never heard. So I'm hoping you might be able to explain that to me.
No problem. Thanks again for letting us be here and speak on this. And it really comes down to, our identity today. And that's really has become our value. And a lot of our money is tied to that. My generation, we don't like to, even go to the store to get our groceries, let alone do our banking and, pay our bills and move our money around. So the bad guys or gals have gotten a little more creative. So like you said, we've all heard of the identity theft. We see the commercials. We get the emails about the Equifax breach and the class action settlement with the FTC and all that crazy stuff. But what the criminals have done now is made it a little more creative. So they'll get bits and pieces of your address or your name. So they'll take an address from John Smith, a name from Joe Smith, and put that all together with a real social from an adolescent or a toddler and basically create a new identity. So then they can take out a checking account with a small secured credit card of $100 and they play the longer game. And in a few years, they can turn that into some real loss for the banks. And, everybody would say, hey, whatever, it's the bank's problem. But, you know how the big banks are. They pass that cost on to us and, we end up paying for it.
We do. Absolutely. You know what drives me crazy about all of this? It seems like there's almost no punishment for the companies that have been leaking this information or they had some sort of security issue, and you find that as part of the security issue, they were made aware of it for a while, didn't say anything to the public, they were vulnerable for a while, and then you find, like in Equifax case, the higher-ups in the company with this information start selling off some of their stock, knowing they're about to go through some financial hardship. You go in front of Congress, they testify in front of Congress, they get a slap on the wrist, and then you have millions of people for the rest of their life with the possibility of having identity theft. And all of these people have these headaches forever now, and these companies seem to have almost no repercussion against them. It drives me absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it definitely stinks, and you see the same thing, whether that was with Wells Fargo, them opening all those accounts to boost their numbers to shareholders, and their stock tripled over those few years, and then they got caught with all those account fake openings, and you know the CEOs and the executives got a nice golden parachute on their way out. So, you know, it's unfortunate to see how the system does that a little bit.
Stephen Hajduchek joining us here is the CEO of Aver. And what do you guys do at Aver?
So we're kind of the bouncers at the door. When you guys go into a bar and your favorite watering hole and your ID is getting checked to get in to be over 21, we do that online. So we handle the stuff with the banks and institutions and different type of gaming platforms, cryptocurrency. We help make that process better. That's what we focus on. But, you know, for the consumers, they'll never really know it's us. They'll never really interact with us. But one of the things that we like to tell consumers is, you know, there is hope. Something we really recommend when people start talking about this is go online, Google credit freeze, whatever state you're in. I'm in North Carolina here tonight. It's a free service. You can create a quick PIN in less than 5 minutes. You can lock down your credit. So that means no one can make inquiries, open a credit card. And that's something that we can kind of take control and a little power back from the bad guys, a little power back from the big banks and stuff that run all that. So it's something that we like to tell people that they can do right now for free.
Yeah, I did that for the family. Can you do that for kids, though?
Absolutely. And we're seeing a lot more people do that now, just because, like you said, that, you know, when their kids to go for their first car or college, and then they realize they have all these loans out and they never checked it. It's something that you could do pretty much as soon as you have their social security number.
You know, I think I tried to do that, and they said that you couldn't do it for minors on behalf of them. But I'm going to have to go back and check. Maybe that's changed. And I guess one of the positive things that happened in Congress, there were some people fighting in order to make freezing credit reports a free service as opposed to charging you for it. That was a positive step in the right direction that people can take in order to help secure themselves from some of this fraud that goes on.
I couldn't agree more. I think that was about only 2 or 3 years ago where they passed that. It used to be like $20 or $30 to, you know, freeze your own credit to protect yourself. It seemed a little moronic.
Yeah, and that $20 to $30 is spread out over the three major agencies, and it was well worth the cost. But think about that per person. So if you have, you know, a 4 or 5 person family and you're doing that for everyone, it can get very pricey. And it drives me nuts because you could have done everything right when it comes to the internet. You could have secured yourself. And then one of these companies that somehow got your information, because like the Equifaxes of the world and some of these different credit agencies, they gather this information. You don't give it to them. They gather the information and they're the ones responsible for leaking it out. And then nothing happens to them when they leak it out. It drives me absolutely crazy. You said there's hope. How in the world can there be hope in the future when it comes to protecting yourself? It seems like there's no hope.
Yeah, it seems a little doom and gloomy when you read the news headlines. But like we said, the credit freeze is a great tool that can take a lot of those issues away. And then there's other really great services out there for iPhone and Android, multiple companies that allow you as a customer and consumer. It's free, too. It's something that you can check your credit, monitor your accounts, see your balances, and you can pretty much do that daily. So there's a lot of great apps out there. You know, I'm not affiliated with them, but we love Credit Karma. They do a really good job on that. Keep in mind, it's what they call a freemium service. So they're going to share out your credit score and send you offers for new credit cards, but at least you get the free service that you could check every day if you wanted to, heck, every hour if you really wanted to, and make sure everything's locked down.
Yeah, it's good to lock that down. You can't do anything. Like, I called a service, and I hate when people over the phone ask you for your social security number in order to check for a service. And it seems like a lot of the different utilities will do that. It drives me crazy. You can't sign up for internet anywhere without actually giving them information like that, or your water bill or your electric or your gas or whatever it is. I hate that. And I always try to throw a fit, and some of them will allow me not to give it. It's just one other company that will somehow have a electronic leak and another bit of information. It drives me crazy. We should just stop this altogether. I feel, again, hopeless when it comes to all of this. And even when you try to lock your credit down. Like, let's say you go on to these reporting agencies and you tell them, you know, you lock it down. No one's allowed to take any credit out my name at this point when they try to check in with this. There's still other things. It doesn't mean your Social Security number's not out there and could be vulnerable at some point in the future. It doesn't mean that it's, like, erased off the black dark web or whatever it is. So still, in the future, people are getting savvy, and they're finding other ways to commit fraud. It's how do you even keep up with all of this stuff?
It's hard to. At this point, I think we just have to assume the worst with what's going on. I mean, at this point, whether it was the Anthem Blue Cross breach, Target, Equifax, assume that pretty much your address, your name, your date of birth, all that stuff's pretty much out there. And just a few days ago, the University of Washington put out now that they found that these actually genetic testing sites like 23andMe, where you can do your genealogy and DNA and mm-hmm. you know, see all that really cool info kind of looking in the mirror. But the bad guys are able to replicate anonymous genetic sequences and match it into basically trick the computer systems to think that trick you into a lineage of a family tree. And if those people opted into sharing that, you can then see that person, their name, their date of birth, their parents' history, to all those credit things that they ask, what's your mother's maiden name? What's your mother's maiden name? Oh, now they're man. Even getting that stuff. So, you know, the bad guys are getting continually smarter, but, you know, we're doing the same on our end, too.
That's amazing. They go through so much effort, so much effort. You feel
they need
like
a job.
Like those fishing expeditions where they'll go out and they'll try to get you over the phone to give information. That seems to be so much easier because people are gullible and they, you know, put their guard down at times. Or maybe they are taking advantage of the elderly or someone that would be more susceptible to those type of scams. That seems infinitely easier than having to go through a DNA testing site or one of those genealogy websites to get additional information. And there's so many different scammy people out there. They're from all over the world. You never know when one of them is going to call you. You get all these phone calls anymore. Like, how many phone calls a day do you get on your cell phone from someone trying to solicit something or scam you from something else? I feel like I get these random calls twice or three times a day now.
Oh, I think I'm numb to it at this point. I mean, I just get all these calls from whether it's Uganda or India or somewhere, and my phone just never stops ringing with it. I think I've just gotten numb to it at this point.
I completely ignore them. I don't answer a number I don't recognize or have saved in my phone. So it's just off the table at that point. So you're the CEO of Aver. Stephen Hajduchek is joining us here on KMOX, and I wanted to talk to you more about the things that people can do. I mean, people have become victims of this in the past. I want to talk to you about what happens after you become a victim. What are some of those things you can recommend people do if they, because one of the worst feelings in the world, and you see this all the time in the news, someone falls for one of these scams and they're so ashamed of what happened, they would almost rather just forfeit and say, well, I'd rather no one know than get my money back or try to fight it. So I want to talk to you about what happens after some of these things and what people should do, because, I mean, there are ways to protect yourself. But let's say someone doesn't protect themselves and then something like this happens, what they should do next. So do you mind holding on after the break?
Sure.
All right. The CEO of Aver joining us here. His name is Stephen Hajduchek. We'll talk some more cybersecurity with him, what you can do on the individual level. And I also want to talk to him about some of these financial institutions, some of the things that businesses are doing to try to stop this fraud that's going on, because they're also organizations and companies, they're also the target for some of these scammers. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Hey, welcome back to Overnight America with our guest this segment. We're going to continue with the CEO of Aver, an identity verification service, talking about identity fraud and some of the issues that you may have run into, some people even personally. His name is Stephen Hajduchek. Thank you again for hanging on to Overnight America.
Not a problem. Happy to be here, guys.
I've talked to people who have been a victim of this, and they said this is one of the worst things that ever happened to them. It's unbelievable, the cleanup process after your identity is stolen, and it's a huge, huge drain. it's hard because it's, you know, it's tough on a relationship and trying to get everything back up and running. It's just miserable. So let's say someone has been a victim of this identity fraud online. Let's say it did happen to them. What are some of those things you'd recommend for them to do?
Well, something that you said before the break, Ryan, I think is really important. People shouldn't be embarrassed. I mean, doing things like what you're doing right now on your show with a great reach and, you know, phenomenal working class audience of, you know, people who just work every day and don't have time to figure this out. I think just having these conversations and, you know, letting people, like you said, don't be embarrassed. When this happens to you, tell your group of friends and, you know, tell your church group, you know, let everybody know kind of what's going on so they can be more aware. And I think that's a really good first step. And just doing this is a great service, I think. But like you mentioned, there's no sugarcoating it. Once it happens to you, the reconciliation process is, yeah, it's gotten a little more streamlined with some of these bureaus, but it becomes basically a legal back and forth, clearing up your paperwork, proving that you never made these things, and signing notarized documents that you never made these things. And it, like you said, it's a stress on people's marriages. It happened to someone I know who was trying to get their first home, and it was just it set him back even further when he was starting a new family with his beautiful wife, and it was rough. So I think doing like what you're doing now, these conversations and making sure, don't be embarrassed about it. Tell everybody what's going on so they can do those free things like we mentioned.
I have caught myself a few times in situations where I was giving out information, and it wasn't until after I gave it out that in the back of my mind I said, oh no, what if this was something that was fraudulent? And I don't want to give any ideas to scammers, but you get these things that look official in the mail, and sometimes it's things that have happened legitimately in the past. And I'll tell you, no, but you know what, I don't think this is a scam, and I really don't want to give anyone ideas, but I'll tell you what happened to me, where I had one of those moments like, oh no, I think I just fell for it moment. So when you have a mortgage and you have a company take over, like mortgage companies will sell your mortgage to other mortgage companies. And I had that happen to me in the past. So you go through that process. Then it happened again. They sold it to another company. And it's annoying because you get the letter in the mail and it says, okay, your mortgage has been sold to this company. Your payment's effective next month. You want to pay over there. And I'm like, great. Now I got to go through this again. I got to update everything and change my passwords and, you know, log in and do this, you know, and da 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 da. So I go through this rigmarole and I do all of this. And it wasn't until the next day I thought, oh crap, what if that was a fraudulent letter that was sent to the mail? Did I just fall for this and I just sent a mortgage payment to a company that is a fraudulent thing? So I didn't do the vetting. I didn't call where my current mortgage was from. And I thought, I could have made a call first to make sure this was legit. Luckily it was. But then I thought to myself, it's so easy to fall for these things when they look official and they have just a little bit about information from you. And it's so easy. It's remarkable that more people don't fall for some of these really elaborate schemes.
Yeah, they're definitely creative. Like you said, it's hard to know whether it's right or wrong. Like, you get a letter of something that sounds right. They might even have your mortgage payment pretty much exact from doing some Zillow research and being able to target you. So like you said, having these conversations with people to be, hey, double check with the original writer of your loan, give them a call, do a little Google, see if there's any alerts from the FTC on what kind of scams or frauds to look out for, all those things. It stinks that we have to do all that, but some of that legwork could really save us in the long run.
Yeah. Just out of curiosity, do you ever watch any of those YouTubers that will like to take these scammers for a ride?
Yeah, I see them on some Reddit channels. They do it on different things besides financial crimes too. But it is always interesting when they catch them.
I think it's hilarious. Some of these things. So someone will try to catch someone trying to defraud them of something. And their whole goal is to keep them on the phone line as long as they can. And sometimes it'll be several hours long. And the goal is to just tie that line up as fast as possible, or as long
just
as possible.
Just waste their time as much as you can.
Yeah, waste their time and then frustrate them to all get up. All right, so you're with Aver, and you kind of gave me a rundown of what you do, but honestly, if you're that first line of defense, and I know there's other companies that do this sort of thing. You hear them advertised on the radio all the time. There's all kinds of different companies out there that have different techniques to try to help you. Like, you know, Rush Limbaugh does the life lock all the time and things. How is that different?
So the life lock is really what they basically will just watch what we talked about, those free services, and give you guys a call if that's something that appears there. Like, they'll do the monitoring for you. What we do is, not to go full nerdy, but we focus a little more on the tech side of it. So companies come to us and we take documents, we match people through facial recognition, using artificial intelligence, and you can get all these points in their face, points on the document. And I know it sounds kind of spooky, but we use it for their benefit, and we do it a little bit cheaper so companies can, you know, pass that savings on to everybody else, and aim to make it a little more streamlined for the customer. So we really use technology on the beginning of the process rather than be reactive when something already happens to try to stop and deter those bad guys at the door so they try to go on to the next one.
You know what someone told me? Here in St. Louis, we have a Six Flags, and my family has a membership pass there. And before, you just do your little thumbprint. They did that. But starting next year, they're going to do facial recognition for the members at Six Flags. Mm. That's becoming popular. I know over in Disney, if you go and visit, they have something similar too, don't they? A lot of these amusement parks use that technology.
Yeah, you see it now in airports. Private companies now, like Clear, are doing that. They'll do facial recognition so you can pass through TSA quicker. And that's similar for what we do with online broker dealers, investment companies, different stuff like that. So the facial recognition is good and bad. Obviously, you know, we never store people's images. When we do, it's for that intent, and then it's moved out of our servers and our software. But putting that information out there is always something that we take seriously. But it is a really good way to verify somebody. It's really hard to dupe all these different points within your nose and under your eye and in your forehead. It's pretty cool stuff.
So what are some of these things companies are doing that are getting them in trouble?
I think the biggest thing that they're doing is foregoing this altogether. They want customers. You know, we live in America, so someone asked me, you know, why do these companies why do the bureaus not automatically lock our and freeze our credit and make us create a PIN and have that secured? Why do they do that? And I said, well, you know, think about it from their perspective. They want you to be able to charge up those credit cards, get a new Home Depot or Lowe's credit card within a few minutes while you're checking out for that 10%. And I mean, we've all done it, but they want you to do it as easy as possible. And those are kind of some of the things that they're starting to see. Well, yeah, we like to make money, but at the same time, this is going to end up costing us more if we don't start doing some of these vetting processes in the beginning. I think that's the trend that we're seeing from our perspective.
We also find that I love these tests that people will do, and this is one of the common ways people infiltrate systems, is they'll drop a USB stick somewhere randomly in public. They'll wait for someone to pick it up, like in a parking lot of a secure area, and then they'll go in and just out of curiosity, oh, I wonder if this is one of my coworkers or someone I know. Maybe if I plug it in here, I'll be able to tell whose it is, and then all of a sudden, boom, they have access to that computer. And through that computer, they may be able to access the network. And through that network, they may be able to steal a lot of information. So sometimes you would think it's just some dude with, you know, 8 computer screens in front of them, and they're typing, you know, 500 words a minute, and they're trying to just like hack their way into certain systems. Sometimes it's as simple as you let someone else in and you didn't know it.
Yeah, and I think the same thing applies. It's a good point. When you see, always be careful when you have your laptop, when you connect to public Wi-Fi at airports, or if you're at a hotel and you see an open network, oh, you know, I can get on the Wi-Fi. Just something to keep in mind. It could be a bad actor trying to skim your data. And another good recommendation that we see a lot of people doing now is if you do your online banking or paying your bills, get a $100, what it's called a Chromebook. You can literally have that dedicated to only do your financial transactions. Don't do any YouTube. Don't download anything. Just solely do your banking on there on a network that you trust. And when you don't do it, just turn it off. And that's a really good way to kind of lock down your passwords from being exposed and obviously your banking stuff too.
That's really fascinating. The $100 Chromebook is an excellent idea. I love that. All right, so you gave some really good information here, but if people wanted to check you out at Aver, where can they go?
It's pretty easy. It's GoAver, GoAver.com.
Yeah, and AVER.com. And Steve and I do check joining us here. Thank you so much for spending some time on Overnight America.
Pleasure's mine, Ryan. Great conversation. Thank you so much for the service and putting this info out there, too.
Hey, thank you. And he joins us on the Quiver River Electric KMOX guest line. It's amazing. You can get sobered up real quick if you think you may be part of a scam. I mean, that sobers you up real quick. And talking about sweating bullets after a moment like that, it's Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
What do you think about Jerry Springer blaming Trump for society's lack of civility? You got to roll your eyes at that, right? You got to roll your eyes. Apparently, Jerry Springer has a new TV show that he plays a judge, I guess. I don't know. So Jerry Springer was on MSNBC, and, you know, the guy that was known in the 90s for people coming on and throwing chairs and throwing down and stripping nude and doing these things. And, you know, what we call civilized conflict dispute. The one that facilitated that for our own entertainment, the one that got into it, the one that had a movie based around the idea of no civility. He's the one saying that lack of civility, let's blame it all on Trump. Blame it on the Trump. So he was on MSNBC to talk about this very topic.
Most of us know you as a guy who hosted a show that featured knockdown, drag-out fights between family members.
Yeah, I used to joke and say that my anger at the president is that he took my show and brought it to the White House. But on a serious note, civility is critical in terms of our norms. And we can't function as a society unless we have norms of how to behave, because you can't pass enough laws to take care of every human interaction.
Okay. So, but you can put it on network television for everyone to watch and laugh at. Oh, boy. So I don't think he's the right person to be out there trying to scold or wag his finger at anyone. Big Al, how are you, man? How you been doing?
I'm okay.
Okay. I'm glad.
Jerry, you're done, Jerry. Put it away, okay? You're bringing people out with babies, daddies, and sisters, husbands, and you're talking about civility? Come on, man. And that's what the other side represents to a T. Am I wrong?
Yeah, he was the guy. He was mayor of Cincinnati there for a while, so he has some political backing. Some people even thought he would maybe go into politics yet again. I don't get it. He has no business wagging his finger at anyone after his background.
Well, speaking of Cincinnati, that's where Mr. DeWitt lives in the off season. So he has two Brinks trucks heading back to Cincinnati with all the money he stole from these 3.5 million idiots. And now they go out and sign Mosaic to an extension. That's just brilliant.
What do you got against it?
What do I got against it? Mm-hmm. We backed into the playoffs. We missed it for 3 years. Our general manager took the first train to Houston, called Luhnow. Okay? Mo was exposed. We back in. Worst thing that could happen, and he runs out and signs an extension for Mo, just like they did Carpenter for no reason. And here we go again.
You're not giving. Can you give him some credit for the accomplishments? I mean, it is a pretty good feat to, you know, make it into the top four teams in the league, even though they got swept, but still.
Well, here's what I'm going to tell you. He acts like that we're the Florida Marlins. And if my sales chart was failing for 3 years and I bumped it a little bit, I'm not going to get an extension.
It's an interesting way to look at it.
Please. So Mr. DeWitt, please, you've already taken care of three generations. Quit signing bad people, Moe, Fowler, Carpenter, and spend the money on players we need.
We got Goldschmidt. How do you think he performed this year?
I love him, and that's the best movie made. Even a blind squirrel gets a nut. All right?
Imagine if we got Harper. Look at how that didn't work out
that
for
ain't
the Phillies.
Happening.
I know, but look at how that worked out. I think they made the right move with Goldschmidt, you know?
So, and he's made some moves. I'm not kidding you. But, you know, he runs out and signs these deals, and we're hamstrung, and we can't go out and make the moves we need to make because he's got about $28 million of dead money on the books, and he don't have the gumption to go into Mr. DeWitt and go, hey, you know what? Carpenter and Fowler's not working out. Mm-hmm. We got to eat it and move on. But guess what? He doesn't, and we can't get the players we need.
Carpenter had that good season a couple of seasons back. It was exciting to see him do his thing.
Rex, Carpenter got an extension a year after they exposed him to the shift. That's why he went from a 300 hitter to a softball player because they moved the shift on him. And they re-upped him, and they had the stats in front of him. And guess what? Here he is. He wasn't playing, was he? It was Tommy Edman.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Who we need, guys like that.
Tommy was fun to watch. He was a great addition.
And you know
he
what?
Really is.
I'll say one more thing, and then I got to go. Me and my buddy was at the game with Carpenter. Got hurt. I never want anybody to get hurt.
No.
But I looked right at him, and I said, we're going to start winning because now – they have no option but to play Edmund because Carpenter's hurt. And we won.
Yeah.
I have vision, and most of you all have bifocals on. So welcome to mediocrity from now on. Way to go, boys. I'm excited.
Way to go, Big Al. Good to hear from you. Thanks for checking in. I had to run. Did he call in a rabies yesterday? I think I heard that call. So it's always good to hear when Big Al makes his rounds here, and it's good to hear his voice again. And Big Al, I've still been thinking about you. I love you, man. I really do. So the Jerry Springer thing on MSNBC, trying to blame Trump for society's lack of civility. I have a feeling things have had some issues here in the United States before Donald Trump came around. In fact, I don't think that he is the reason for the lack of civility. You know, it's amazing. Honestly, it is absolutely amazing if you think about how these individual people act in some of these pretty terrible ways. If you look at the way Antifa goes out there and protest, or if someone will see someone in a red hat, they'll go absolutely crazy because they see a Make America Great Again hat and they equate that to being physically assaulted by seeing the ball cap someone else is wearing. You want to talk about lack of civility? I don't think Donald Trump made them do that. They had that already in them deep down inside. And it shows and it manifests in them that they don't know how to control themselves. If that's how the lack of civility, if it's Donald Trump triggering other people to do that, that's not his fault. It's the individual people that don't know how to act. So it's not like he is the person out there that is ordering everyone to be uncivil. It just doesn't work like that. Good old Jerry Springer. Thank you for that. I wonder if he would ever reboot his show. And I'm sure he would, given the opportunity. But he's probably made so much money. How much money do you think he made off of that show, the uncivil show of the Jerry Springer Show? That might still be in syndication, for as far as I know. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to spend a full hour talking to Robert Hardaway, professor of law and author of Why the National Popular Vote Would Undermine Democracy. It's a great topic. We've debated this on the show before. Some people are really in favor of just doing straight popular vote. Whoever gets the most votes gets in. But this thing, the Electoral College, is a very good system. And for many reasons, we're going to talk to our next guest in the next hour coming up. And on KMOX.com/ONA, you can find our podcast, any show that we do here. We post them by the hour. You can go back and listen, even on the radio.com app. And you can rewind on that app, too. It's pretty cool. We'll be right back on Overnight America.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.